Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Hi, it's Angela here. And just before we start this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, I want to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat, which is coming up on November 16, 17 and 18. And I am just so excited to share all of this information with you. I've been planning this retreat for the last 3 years and it is finally going to happen. I have created something which is about taking you out of your business to work on your business, to work on yourself, to work on your health, your self-care. It's all about reducing the stress and reconnecting you back to why you went into business in the first place. Let's look at a different way of running business, and that's what the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat is all about. It's about fun, it's about learning, it's about connections. And if you want to know more about what we'll be doing, why not pop over to the website www.angelacouncil.com/entrepreneurs-playdate-retreat. I certainly hope you decide to join us there. Now, on to the episode. Bye. Hi there, and welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. My name's Angela Council, and this week's episode, I want to share a story with you. This is a very personal story, but there were some big lessons in it for me, so I wanted to share this with you. Now, for some people who are listening to this episode, you will know that about 11 months ago, my dad passed away. And in the 12 months prior to that, 12 months before he passed away, he had a diagnosis of stomach cancer. And he was basically told that he would have a pretty good quality of life up until the very end, which was true. But I found that when the diagnosis came through, I mean, he'd been sick for a long time. He'd been sick on and off, nothing major, but he hadn't been really well since he'd retired a few years ago. And because he'd had lots of different conditions, he'd spent time in hospital on and off, and he started losing weight, and the doctors weren't sure what was going on, and then they found a growth. Initially, with just where the colon comes into the stomach, and they went and they cut some of that out, but then they found that the growth had spread and it was in his stomach. And as a naturopath, my immediate thing as soon as I kind of got this news is, well, what can I do to help? You know, I mean, I'm a healer, and I've been in the healing profession for the last 10 plus years. So my immediate thought was, I can't let my dad die, and I know that I can help. And so I did a whole pile of research, and my aim was to get him nice and strong, to get his immune system nice and strong. Now, I'm going to be honest, is that cancer was certainly never ever a specialty of what I treated in my clinic. But, you know, I had this belief that the body was strong, it was resilient, and we had to do is strengthen it up and get the immune system going, and so the immune system could fight these cancer cells, and the stronger he was, it was all going to work. So I went and I bought a whole pile of food for him and said, this is the type of food you need to be eating. It's going to be really good for you. I had said to him that I wouldn't treat him as a practitioner, like I wouldn't be his practitioner, but if he wanted to, you know, work with a practitioner, that I'd find the best one for him and give him all the support he needed. And if he wanted to ask me any questions, he could do that. So basically, I went straight into practitioner mode and helping mode. And whilst he kind of, fine, and he took the food that I gave him. Over the months, I knew that he wasn't eating the food I'd kind of given him, because I'd said to him, when you run out, let me know and I'll get you some more. And he wasn't coming back for more. And I'd given him a few supplements and things like that. And then I kind of started getting the excuses from my mother as to, it was too hard, doing all this was too hard, you know, you want him to be taking these protein powders and drinking bone broth and all of this stuff. And I'm going, but you know, how hard is it? Because what we're talking about here is keeping him alive, that he's not going to die from cancer. And I started to get, well, to be honest, I was getting angry because, you know, they were going to the doctor and the doctor was saying, really, it's not going to make that much difference, just eat what you like. And I was getting so angry because he was listening to what the doctor said and he kept going, oh, but the doctor's really good, you know, and, you know, he understands this type of cancer, and he just, you know, he was believing in the doctor. And I didn't believe in the doctor. Now, I'll be honest, I never ever met the doctor, but my belief was that, you know, we could solve this. We could, you know, I'd known people who had cancer who'd been able to turn it around but with using natural therapy. So I was there and I was getting angry because they weren't listening to me. And I have to say that the relationship between myself and my parents had started to fall down. I kind of thought, well, they have no respect for me. All this stuff was going on in my head. And, you know, I would go, and my parents live interstate. You know, I'm in New South Wales, they live in Queensland, but I'd go up there and you'd go around there and you'd be eating these sticky bun things full of wheat and sugar. And I'm thinking, oh, that's just so not good for you. You know, it's not good for your body and your body's got to clean all that stuff out. And I tried to say something and then he's going, yeah, but I like it. I can't eat anything except for this stuff. And the doctor says it's all right. And I kind of walk away going, I'm losing my dad and there's nothing I can do about this. And I was angry. I was darn angry. And over time, I kind of went, well, you know, there's nothing I can do now. There's nothing I can do. And as he got sicker and sicker, I knew that I had to let that go. I had to let go of wanting to fix the problem. I had to let go of my belief that my way was the right way. I had to let him travel his journey and listen to who he wanted to listen to. I had to let him have his faith and belief in whatever it was that he had. And that was really, really hard. But I realised that, that he didn't need a practitioner. He already had one. He had a doctor. He needed a daughter. And I wasn't being a good daughter, because I was so darn angry at everything. And about this time last year, you know, it was the first week in September, I think. Actually, it was, because I had just started my stress-free September last year. And I got a phone call. And I was planning to go and see him in the school holidays, which was a couple of weeks in advance. I got a phone call from my brother, who I hadn't spoken to in a very, very long time. And he said, Dad's sick. And I went, yeah, I know he's sick. And he says, I said, I'll be up there in 2 weeks. I'm coming up in the school holidays. I've booked everything. And he said, no, that'll be too late. He's really sick. He's just gone to hospital. So I went and I changed all my flights, I changed everything, and I got on the next flight the next day. I walked into the hospital and I saw this man. He was dying and there's nothing I can do about it. He couldn't eat. The cancer had grown so large in his stomach that he couldn't eat. They were bringing him in, honestly, crappy white sandwiches to eat. And I was like, okay, whatever. You need some nutrients in you, whatever. But, you know, couldn't eat more than a quarter of a sandwich. And even then he'd get sick because there was no space left in his stomach because the cancer had taken over. And the cancer was also, it was actually blocking his liver. When I arrived, his stomach was so swollen up and it was so full of fluid. And they actually put a stent in and they released 3 litres of fluid out of his stomach. That's how inflamed his stomach was from the cancer. And as I said, his liver wasn't working properly. His skin was going yellow. Luckily, when I arrived, he was on a ventilator, and shortly after released all the fluid out of his stomach, he could come off the ventilator and he could speak because it was no longer putting so much pressure on his lungs, so he's able to speak. I was able to spend some time with him, just talking to him, laughing with him, and just being with him. I was scared, because I knew that this was probably the last time I was going to see him, and I didn't know how I was going to say goodbye. And I was up there at that stage, I was up there without my family, without my children and my husband. And he wanted to see my kids, so we did a FaceTime so he could see my kids. And then he said, when are they coming up? And I said, well, they were coming up in the school holidays, but I'm going to bring them up sooner. And he said, yeah, I want to see them. So we arranged for my husband and my kids to come up. And they were coming up first thing on the Monday morning. And then on the Sunday lunchtime, I got a phone call to come and basically say goodbye to my dad, because I didn't expect him to last much longer. And before that, I was so afraid of what I was going to say. How do you say goodbye to the person that's been your father? How do you do that? But I walked into the room, and all of a sudden, I didn't have to think about that anymore. Everything I had to say just came out. And I left him with a crystal, a rose quartz, and a band which is the same as what I wear, which says infinite love and gratitude, and I put that on his wrist. He did ask about the kids, and I said, they'll be here tomorrow morning. But at that stage, I looked at him, and even though I knew they were coming up, I knew there was no way they were going to see their grandfather looking like that. He looked like someone who'd been in a concentration camp, and I couldn't put my children through that. As much as I loved my father, I had to protect my children. But I told him that they'd be there that they were coming up to Brisbane the next day. As it was, by the next morning, I got a phone call saying, no, don't bring the kids in. He doesn't want to see anybody. By this stage, he'd started to lose all control of his bodily functions, and he's a very, very proud man, and he certainly didn't want his grandkids to see that. That day, because the kids only came up for a day, I had decided the day before, after I saw him, that I was going home with my children. So on the Monday afternoon, I came back home knowing I would never see my dad again. I didn't realise that this would be so hard. And on the Wednesday morning, he woke up. My mother had been staying with him in the hospital non-stop. She never left him. And she said, same thing as she'd done for 56 years. He woke up, she gave him a kiss, and she said, I love you. And then he took his last breath and passed away at 7 a.m. on the 23rd of September 2015. And for the last 11 months, you know, things have been okay, because I truly believe that we don't leave this world, our energy stays, and we only leave a physical world. And I've been there, and I've been a lot closer with my mother, and I've been supporting her. I go up there, you know, every couple of months, and I go and see her, make sure that she's okay. She's managing okay, you know, and the next, you know, few weeks obviously are going to be a bit hard for her. I've just seen her a week ago. It was actually on his birthday. I flew up and spent time with her on his birthday. But the last, for me, the last week or so, I have really been missing my dad. And I kind of didn't know where this was coming from. This feeling, this unbelievable sadness. The sadness that I didn't really, I mean, I was sad when he died, but this was deep, deep, deep sadness. And I just keep crying for no reason. I would just cry. And this weekend just gone, well, actually, it was probably Thursday and Friday. I'm going, I need a sign. I need a sign that you're okay. I need a sign that it's all okay. And on Friday night, I happened to go to an event and there was a spiritual medium there. And she was actually, she was speaking to the room and she actually contacted people from the other side and she was talking to them. And I'm going, please tell me my dad's okay. Tell me everything's okay. But I didn't hear. I'm thinking, oh, it's got to be okay. And I needed to know he was still with me. And the next day was Saturday, and I was still really, really upset, and I couldn't get out of this funk that I was in. And I went and I did the shopping, and we have a local beach, and now I go to our beach every single day during the week. So Monday to Friday, I'm just about nearly every day, I'm down there, I meditate, I spend time down there. But I don't normally go down there on the weekend because that's my time with family. If I went, I would go with my family. But for some reason, I've been saying, I need a sign, I need a sign, I need a sign. I was in Aldi car park. And as I walked out, I was in the car park, and I looked at this, there was this truck right beside me. And stuck in the dash was about 10 feathers. All these feathers were stuck up, and they were just sticking up in the dashboard. And I'm in a few of these, a few groups, and I know that feathers mean something. And I know that it's a big sign to see these feathers. And I'm going, yeah, but that's not the right sign. You know, here I've got 10 feathers looking at me. And I know it means something, but for me, it didn't mean anything. I'm going, no, that's not a clear enough sign. I need a clear enough sign, Dad. You've got to tell me. I need a bigger sign. And for some reason, I decided to drive to the beach and to go to the headland where I could look over the ocean. And I just sat there and I did a bit of meditation, or maybe I fell asleep, I don't know. But I was sitting there with my eyes closed and I opened my eyes and I could hear a helicopter. There'd been a helicopter in the background, I could hear the noise, really hadn't taken much notice. And I opened my eyes and I heard this helicopter. I'm thinking, why is the helicopter just hovering? Maybe someone's in trouble in the water. So I looked in the water and I could see something kind of in the middle that was behind all the surface, behind the wave breaking, and it's kind of where all the water was still. I'm thinking, maybe someone's got caught out there. And all of a sudden, this dolphin jumped up. And then another dolphin jumped up. There were six dolphins, all jumping and playing, and they were there. And I went, that's my sign. See, when I was a child, dolphins were my lucky animal. I loved dolphins. I collected dolphins. Everything I had had dolphins on it. And I'd forgotten about dolphins because I've forgotten a lot of things from my childhood. But I knew that that sign, those dolphins, was my dad telling me it was all okay. That everything was okay. And that was on Saturday, and I'm recording this now and it's on Monday. And since sitting there and watching those dolphins and knowing it's all okay, I've forgiven myself for being so darn angry. I've looked at the gift that I got, the gift of 54 years with a man, because there's people that don't have that long with their dad. I look and how lucky I am. I mean, how lucky is someone who can be 5 minutes from an ocean to see dolphins playing? I'm so grateful for my life. And I've had lots of really significant shifts within the last 48 hours. I have spent 2 years in serious pain with one of my hips. And that I've realised and I've tracked it back that this pain started when my dad first got his diagnosis. By Sunday, I had minimal pain. I have very little pain. I can't even feel any pain in my hip right now. I get some niggles every so often. I've just come back from a pretty hard session with my personal trainer. He was amazed at how much I could do. I've been working rehab for 2 years. All of a sudden, the pain is gone. So I wanted to share that story with you, and I'm really sorry for all the blubbering. But the reason why I wanted to share that is because sometimes when we're looking for the answers, we're looking for signs, and I wanted a sign, but really, I knew within me that all I had to do was forgive myself. And yes, I got this gorgeous sign, and it reconnected me back to who I was, reconnected me back to my dad, who isn't gone, he's just transformed. And now, when I'm looking at what I'm doing, whether it's in my business or it's within my life, I'm coming from a different place. I'm coming from a place of love, not a place of loss. And I just wanted to share that story with you today to, I actually don't know why, I just know that I had to share it. And hopefully you or someone who's listening to this has got what they needed out of it. If you've got a sick parent, someone you want to help. I know I have lots of natural therapists that listen to this podcast. I work with natural therapists. And they want to help. They want to get people better. And particularly when it's someone really close to you, sometimes all they need is a son or a daughter or a partner. They don't need a practitioner. They can find that elsewhere and they can make their own decisions. And forgive yourself for trying to make them right so that you're wrong. So you're right, trying to make them wrong so you're right. Whatever it is, I just hope that someone got something from this story today. So thank you for listening. Next week I'll be back with another episode, which I promise I won't be crying on. If you want to find a little bit more about what I do and my upcoming retreat, Entrepreneurs Retreat, please visit my website, www.angelacouncil.com. In November, I'm taking a group of female entrepreneurs on retreat to connect them back to their business, to get them really clear on what it is that they want to create in their business, to plan for 2017, to clear the whatever blocks that might be stopping them from moving forward. So if you want to join me, want to find out a little bit more about that, go over to the website and learn more. So until next week, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Hi, it's Angela here again, and I certainly hope you enjoyed that episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. Before I go, I just wanted to remind you about the Entrepreneurs Playdate Retreat that's coming up on November 16th to 18th. This is 2.5 days of working on your business, working on you, working on every part of your health, your business and your mindset. It's time to just take a bit of time out, relax, have a little bit of fun, get rid of the stress. I've chosen a fantastic retreat center. You can do yoga, meditation, whatever you want. There's lots of free time, as well as spending some time time planning what you want to create in 2017. So if you want to find out a little bit more about what we're doing, or you want to book in to join us, bring a friend along, visit www.angelacouncil.com/entrepreneurs-playdate-retreat. So I hope to see you soon. Bye.